All right, saints, so you all have a sermon outline to follow with me. It's not the most detailed sermon outline you ever had, but it's there. Help you keep it together with me today. And we are in a four-part sermon series this month. Pastor Rick kicked us off last week. Our new sermon series is called Getting Ready to Fall in Love Again. And Pastor Rick told us about loving the Aints. That's right. And today I'm going to be talking to us about falling in love with Jesus. And next week, Pastor Toby is going to bring us loving the saints. And then Pastor Rick is going to wrap us up with loving the world. So saints, let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, eternal God, creator God, God of love, God who is love, we bow before you in humble submission and adoration. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for desiring us. Thank you, Lord, for being a God that both gives and receives love, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray today that as you guide us with your word, that you would open our eyes to ways that we can love you more completely. Help us to love you more fully and help us to love you as you have loved us. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. As I already said, Pastor Rick began us with a message last week called Loving the Aints. And saints, if you were not here last week and you missed that message, that was a good message. You need to be breaking down the walls and the doors to get the DVD or go online and see that message. That message was so powerful and it touched us on so many different levels. Helped us to grow, helped us to learn to listen better, and really helped us to look at ourselves, saints. So Pastor Rick's message was falling in love with the Aints, and today we're going to be talking about falling in love with Jesus. So my first question to you today is, why are we talking about love? Why are we talking about love? Well, Jesus is love. That's a nice reason. I like that, Annie. But in reality, we're just talking about it because it's the month of February and it's Valentine's Day. So tomorrow is what? Valentine's Day. This is the month of love. And we as humans, we love talking about love. We sing about love. We dance about love. We write poems about love. We watch movies about love. Love, saints, is the most talked about human topic of all topics. We talk about falling in love. We talk about falling out of love. We even discuss the different types of love. Have you ever heard somebody say something like, you know, it's one thing to love your friends, but it's another way that we love our parents. Or it's one way to love your guy, but it's another way to love your dog. It's something different about the way we love, right? If I asked you to tell me what are some of the types of love you know about, what would you say? Agape love? Unconditional love? I don't love them, man. That's the opposite of love. But we all know that there are different types of love, right? We love our friends. We love our kids. Some of us have had a first love. Anybody ever had your first love? Some of us love our parents, I hope. Some of us love our kids. Some of us love our pets. There are some real animal lovers here. Some of us love food. You knew right where I was going, because sometimes we don't love people, we love things. How many of us are in love with our car? We love our shoes. We love our basketball. We love our Wii video game. Some of us love our money. Whatever we love or whomever we love, we can all agree that love is a part of our human experience. Most of us want to give love, and we definitely want to receive love in return. How many of us out here have done some stupid things for love? All right, we got some real honest folks. First service wasn't this honest. Some of us have gotten into some fights, amen. Anybody ever fought for somebody you love? Some of us have altered the way we look. We started wearing our clothes a certain way. We started wearing our hair a certain way just for love. Some of us think we have to be smarter for somebody to love us. So we try to become more smarter and sound more intelligent so someone can love us. Some of us dumb down because we want to be loved. We say, oh, I don't know. Tell me how to do that. Well, you know the whole time. We will do the most amazing things, saints, just to attract the opposite sex. Why do we do that? Well, we do that because we want to feel this amazing, phenomenal feeling that we associate with love. But I wanted to offer us today that most of us really don't know what love is. Did you know that? Most of us just plain don't get it. We don't get it when we're talking about love. We get love confused with attraction. You know what attraction is. That guy walks in the room and everybody goes like this. Ooh, did you see him? That girl comes in the room and all the guys, their mouth just be watering. Ooh, my. Ooh, she shouldn't have wore that shirt like that today. That's attraction. We definitely get love mixed up with lust. You know those hormones, they start coming about 13, and those hormones seem to take control of our bodies, and we start going bananas over people. Those feelings come out, and that lust starts happening, and we think, ooh, this must be love. I ain't never felt this way about anybody in my whole life. Tell your neighbor, that's not love. We get love mixed up with attraction. We get love mixed up with lust, and we definitely get love mixed up with sex. Yes, yes. What is it about when you say, I love you, that you start trying to take your clothes off? Ooh, I love you. Ooh, baby, let me take my clothes off. I can't get my pants down fast enough. Somebody said them words to you, I love you. Oh, come on over now tonight. It's 2 a.m. You know what it's called, that call. You could have just met the person. They say, I love you. Okay, let's go to bed. What is that? Lust is not love. You know, I want to give us some Valentine night tips. Because tomorrow is Valentine's Day. But most of us focus on Valentine's night, not the day. Some of y'all already started celebrating back on Friday, talking about you having Valentine's weekend. I want you to know, though, saints, we all know that there are a lot of people in the church having sex. We all know that a lot of us out there are having sex. The problem is not all of us are doing it God's way. I don't want you all to be deceived to think that we don't know what y'all doing when y'all leave. Many of us are having sex, and we think we're getting away with it, but we're not, because God sees all. So I'm just going to give us some Valentine's Day tips, and the person in the first service told me that it helped her out, so I hope it helps you all out. Your bulletin outline is pretty empty, so I want you to write on there. I want you to write on there, things I must have in a person in order to be in a relationship with them. Things you must have. And only one of them can pertain to looks. So don't write on there, they must have this little bitty waist, they must be about this tall, you know, shape them up. No, don't write all that. You get one thing pertaining to looks. All the rest have to do with saying something like, they must know God. They must have a job. They must have some reasonable amount of intelligence to them, some kind of thought. I don't know what your musts are, but those were my musts. So write down things you must have. Then I want you to write down also things you cannot stand. That's number one on my list. Anybody who telling lies, you got to go. You lie about the color of the sky. I know it's blue. Why are you saying it's purple? Lies, cheating, no job, no ambition in life, mental abuse, physical abuse. Put that on the list. No hopes, no relationship with Christ. Can't stand that. Okay? So now tomorrow night, on Valentine's night, some of y'all gonna get this on the dough. Somebody gonna be standing there with a bunch of balloons, some candy, some gifts. And I want you to break out that list of must-haves. I want you to look at that list real careful. And if that person don't add up to the must-haves and got a whole bunch of can't stands, you take the balloons, you take the chocolate, you say thank you, have a nice day, and shut the door. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. Also, while we're writing down our list of what we must have and what we cannot stand, I want you to write down what you must give to somebody else. You see, some of us think it's all about me. What you gonna give me in this relationship? But I want you to write, what must I give? Must I give love? Must I give respect? Must I give some intelligence? Must I give a job? What must I give? And then also I want you to write down what things you don't want people that you know they can't stand about you, that you don't want to give away. You know you got a bad attitude. You know you cheap and don't know how to spend your money, don't know how to budget, got a bad credit. Those kind of things you don't want to give away. Okay? So I want us to think about this when our Valentines are coming over and we're arranging our nights of fun and romance. And think about, is this matching up, my list matching up with God? And is my list matching up with what this person is offering and what I'm offering? Let those be your guide as you're making decisions about love. You see, because I stated before, we've got this whole concept of love all mixed up. We got it all mixed up. And this came to light when I really read this story from our New Testament reading about the disciple Peter. And just to give us a little background so we're all on the same page, we all remember Peter. Peter was the one who was with Jesus and the rest of the disciples when Jesus said, one of you will betray me. One of you will deny me. And Peter said, oh, not me. I will never deny you. I love you. I will never, ever do anything like that. And Jesus said, well, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. And Peter said, oh, no, not me, never me, no, not me. And Jesus said, yes, you will deny me. So we all know the story. Peter goes on, and he does deny Jesus. Jesus is hung on the cross. He's raised from the dead. He comes back during the resurrection, and he appears to several women and men. So here we have Jesus meeting with Peter after the resurrection. So Jesus is standing with Peter, and they're by the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus asks Peter some questions that help me to understand that we truly don't understand this thing called love. Yeah. Jesus asks Peter first. He says, do you truly love me? Do you truly love me? And then he puts a part two on this, and he says, do you love me more than these? Than these. So let's look at that first part. Do you truly love me? As I said before, most of us don't understand what love is because we get love confused with attraction and lust and sex. But let me show you how you can know that the difference between love. Now, if you ask any Christian right now, when did you fall in love with Jesus? What happened? What kind of answers would you expect to hear? Would any of those Christians say, oh, girl, you know what? I remember the first time I fell in love with Jesus, he came walking through the door, and he had these pants on like this, and his hair was looking all good like this, and I just did a double take because Jesus came through the room. No Christian would describe falling in love with Jesus like that. No Christian would say, oh, the moment I saw Jesus, I was trying to get my clothes off for him. So we know, saints, that love really does not have anything to do with attraction, lust, or sex. Love is so deep and so profound and so different from anything else. And we don't often get that. We don't understand it. So when Jesus comes to Peter, he says, do you truly love me? What does it mean to truly love Jesus? This is the question that all of us should ask ourselves. All of us should ask ourselves, who do you love and who loves you back? You see, when you ask the love question, it gets at the root of what's really in your heart. When Jesus asks this question, do you truly love me? Jesus was showing Peter, I know what's in your heart. I know what's in your heart. I know what's really, really, really deep in your heart. And you see how we can tell this is because when Jesus was standing there, he said, do you love me more than these? What are the these? What are the these? We know that they were standing near the sea. So it was Peter's job. It was some fish. It was some boat. It was some nets. It was some rods or something like that. And Jesus was saying, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Read your scripture reading, Joshua 24, 23. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Do you love me more than your idols? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than your material possessions? Do you love me more than the stuff in your life? Do you love me truly? Now, saints, before you all go home and get rid of all your TVs and cars and stuff like that, I'm not telling you to go home and get rid of nothing. Jesus did not tell Peter to get rid of stuff. He didn't say give up your job. But he's telling him, do you love me more than all of this stuff, all of these? And Peter says, yes, I love you. And so Jesus goes on to tell him, if you love me, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Two words, feed and lambs. Saints, you can't feed anybody. Get this. You cannot feed anybody if you don't have anything to give. And the only way we get what we have is through our Lord Almighty. Amen. He did not give us our blessing so we can hold on to him and say, oh, this car is the only car for me. No one can ever ride. I can't give out rides. He gave us the things that we have in order to feed the lambs. In order to feed the lambs. So who are the lambs? The lambs are the tender, the weak, those that cannot provide for themselves, those that are looking to somebody else for some help. You see, a lot of times we think, oh, nobody needs some help. Nobody, oh, I can't do all that. But sometimes a lot of people are looking for help from us. And we got to stop turning our head the other way. You know, Pastor Rick spoke in his sermon last week about people being hurt way back in their childhood and them carrying them hurts up into their adulthood. Was anybody feeling that? You have some things from way back in the day that you are still walking with right now. Well, saints, when Jesus says, feed my lambs, why is it that children are the number one prey in the entire world? Children are the number one abused. Children are the number one homeless. Children are the number one living in poverty. Children are the number one without insurance. Children are the number one kidnapped. That's why they call it kidnapped. Don't call it adult nap. They call it kidnapped. Children are the number one to experience verbal abuse. Number one to experience sexual abuse. Number one to experience emotional abuse, parents. Number one to be neglected and mistreated. I can go on and on and on about how badly our children get treated throughout the entire world, saints. But most of the time, it doesn't get any better when we come right here at home. We say over and over again, children are the future. Children are the future, and we know that we need to invest our time in children. We know that we need to invest in them love and tenderness and kindness so that they can in turn give the same out as adults. But how are we treating those lambs? How are we treating those lambs? We continue with those lambs by looking at our seniors. Saints, this is a sore spot for me because I don't have the words to express what is happening in our nursing homes. I don't have the words to express what is happening in our private care when our seniors are expecting their children and grandchildren to take care of them. What is happening in our world that when you reach a certain age, all of a sudden, You no longer get treated with respect and kindness. You no longer get treated with dignity and honor, and you get treated as you don't know anything. Saints, read John 21:18 with me. It says, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went out where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. We all know we in that direction. We all know that when we get that age, we are going to want somebody to care for us. We're going to want somebody to treat us with dignity. We're going to want somebody to come by and visit us and say hello and send us a birthday card. We're going to want somebody to come by and cook a meal for us. So why aren't we doing the same? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So Jesus stands before Peter and says, if you love me, feed my lambs. And Peter thinks, okay, I got it. End of story. I love you, Jesus. That's story over, sermon over, go home. We got to get ready for Valentine's Day. We got to get our celebration together here. But then Jesus says, let's go deeper and ask the question a second time. Peter, do you truly love me? Do you truly love me? Now, I know that many commentators, many of us, we focus on the difference between the way he used the word love. And we talk about agape love and eros love and filial love. But there's something else I want to point out to us today. Love requires thought. It requires us to use our mind and our brains. When we say things like, I lost my brain, I lost my mind over him, he walked through the door, I couldn't think straight. That's not love. That is not love. We are all in this rush to experience love. Y'all know how it is. We want those butterflies in our stomachs. We want those googly eyes. We want to sit there and eye gaze. I just want to be in love. Saints, that is not love. In order to understand love, we need to look at some true love experts. True love experts. Let me break down what it means to be a love expert. A love expert is somebody that's been married 40, 50, 60, 70 years. That's a love expert. But let me go deeper. Because a lot of times we think we're only experts at love if you get married. No, 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 no. A love expert is somebody that can say, I got a best friend and I don't been that best friend since we was in kindergarten and we don't walk through some hard times and she always got my back and sometimes we argue and fight, but I know that my friend is there and I'm there for her. That's a love expert. A love expert is when a child or a parent can look at each other and say, we love each other. We're going to be here for each other. I got your back no matter what. I'm going to give you all of my love and my respect. A love expert can happen between neighbors, saints. Sometimes our neighbors love us more than our families do. Our families don't come back knocking and saying, how you doing? But our neighbors will be there with us. They'll be the ones coming over, cutting your grass for you, shoveling the snow for you, helping to get the mail out the mailbox for you. Our neighbors can be love experts with us, saints. So sometimes in our life, we need to put on our list of when we think about those must-haves is go ask somebody who know a little something about love before you call yourself all and all over for somebody. So Jesus says, to Peter, a second time, do you truly love me? This is when our love experts come into to place here. Because you see, true love experts realize that it's real easy to fall in love. You see, it's easy to fall in love. But a true love experts understand that it's the difficult part is staying in love. Staying in love during the hard times. Staying in love when you don't like each other. Staying in love when you don't get along with each other. Staying in love when you are bored to death with each other and you don't heard them stories 50 times or you don't share those stories 50 times and you still say, let me hear it again, baby, I love you. I know my kids get tired of hearing when I was little, but they listen anyway. That's a true love right there. True love right there. So true love experts know that it's real easy to fall in love. But the difficult and the challenging part is to stay in love. And see, saints, that's the key, because most of us, we fall in love, and then as soon as those gooey, lovey feelings go away, we say, oh, it's time. You got to get out of here. I'm tired of you. I'm tired of you. Love not the same. As soon as you get to that point, saints, you're missing out on your blessing. The true love experts know if I stay a little longer, if I dig a little deep, if we hang in there, this love over here is going to be way better than this love over here. You only learn that, though, after you don't been around for some years and you don't sunk in deep. You see, saints, we think that we understand love, but we really don't. Because when we're first, we get that falling in love, all that romance, just like Peter. Peter was so in love with Jesus at the beginning. Remember that when all of us fall in love with Jesus, you was so on fire. Anybody ever been told you was on fire for the Lord? You was so on fire, just like Peter. And Peter stood up, I will never deny you, Lord Jesus. I love you. I'm so connected with you. I'm engaged with you. Everything is about you, Lord. And Jesus looked at him and said, before that rooster crows, you will deny me. You will deny me. And Peter said, oh, no. Everything's good. We're all together. Jesus said, before that rooster crows, you will deny me. And Jesus said again, Peter said again, I love you, Lord. It's all about you. And Jesus said again, before that rooster crows, you will deny me. And there it was. I know it sounds corny, but that was it. You see, all of us, when we're first in love with Jesus, when we first fall in love with Jesus, we are on fire. And we say, oh, I'm going to join the choir. Oh, I'm going to sing. Oh, I'm going to sing. I'm going to be the best usher in the back. I'm going to have on my black and white. I'm going to be with the youth. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to give all my money. It's going to be all about you, Lord. And Jesus says, cock-a-doodle-doo. You see, we as Christians, we just think we got it all together. We think we got it all right. We have so much pride, just like Peter. We always think, oh, I'm just the best singer at Glendale. I got the best praise. I can pray the best. You ain't never seen a prayer warrior like me. We all kind of act like that. We think our choir is better than everybody else's choir. We think we usher better than everybody else. We think we got it going on. We boast a little bit about ourselves. And Jesus reminds us, I know your heart. I know you deeply, better than you know yourself. And Jesus knew way back when we first gave our lives to him, he knew every single time that we would fail. He already knew the crow, the rooster was going to be going cuck-a-doo-doo-doo all the time because we was going to keep failing. Jesus knows every time when we decide to choose our own needs over his lambs and his sheep. So he says to us the second time, he says, I want you to know what you're getting into here. I want you to know, can you handle it? Because this life is not easy. So Jesus says that second time, take care of my sheep. This time he tells us, take care of my sheep, not feed the lambs, take care of my sheep. And why is he talking about sheep this time instead of lambs? Because this time he's talking about the strong and the mature, those of us that think we got it all together. Those of us that think we got some kind of monopoly on how to do this worship thing. You see, saints, some of us get the idea that one group in the church is more needy than the others. They always say things like, oh, those youth, they need Jesus. Help them out. Them youth, oh, God, help the youth. Or they say, you know, the seniors or the singles or the men or the women or whoever it is, the nursery crew, they say, oh, they all need this. But in actuality, we all need Jesus. None of us can be complete without Jesus. We need to get this really, really big, 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 big picture that it's not just about some people, it's about all people with Jesus. So we think, okay, Pastor Kelly, we are so tired of you preaching up there. We don't know how long you're going to talk about this love thing. And you think, okay, I got it. I know love is not sex. I know love is not lust. I got this. I got it. But then Jesus comes a third time. Third time and says, Peter, do you love me? Why a third time? Why number three? Here's the answer. Because we still don't get it. We still don't get it. When I think of an America where 90% of the people claim to believe in God, when I think of all the Christian church just up and down 105 alone, when I see all of us folks getting up for church every Sunday, and then I say, where is the change? Where is the change? So Peter asked a third time. So Jesus asked Peter a third time, do you love me? And Peter got a little hurt by that. He got a little hurt by that. He was grieved. But he wasn't grieved, saints, because Jesus was saying something wrong. He was grieved, saints, because it was like Jesus stuck a flashlight into Peter's heart. And he exposed, you are a sinner. You are broken. You will deny me at every opportunity that you get. As long as things are going good and everything is well, you're going to be right by my side. But as soon as they nail those nails into my hands, you are going to bail out on me in a heartbeat. Does that get close to anybody? Jesus shines that light in our hearts, and he looks at us and he says, you make a lot of promises. Remember all those promises? I was going to be good. I was going to join that choir. I was going to come to church on time every Sunday. I was going to miss one time. I was going to be at Life Sharing and Pioneers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I was going to do everything. And Jesus puts that light right into our hearts and says, you will betray me. You will deny me and bail out on me in a heartbeat as soon as you're lonely, as soon as you're discouraged, as soon as those bills aren't adding up, as soon as you don't get that job that you think I owe you, as soon as you don't get the promotion, as soon as you think I don't bring that love person into your life fast enough, as soon as you go through divorce, as soon as you might have to experience a little jail time, as soon as you might have to enter a hospital, here we are creeping out on Jesus. Cock-a-doodle-doo. You know, saints, when Jesus put that flashlight into Peter's heart and exposed the heart, he exposed that we are sinners and we are broken. And saints, I started thinking about things differently, especially with my kids, because I go through life trying to keep them out of trouble. Please do right. Please do right. I don't want to see you behind bars. Please do right. I don't want to see you stuck pregnant. Please do right. I don't want to see you all these things terrible happen to you. But then I think, yes, I don't want all those things to happen, saints. But sometimes we need to experience brokenness so that we know that we need a Savior. Sometimes we need to back on up and watch somebody go through some hard times, so that when they look up, they're not looking at us. They're looking straight up to Jesus. You see, saints, what I realized, without brokenness, we cannot repent. Without repentance, we cannot receive the Lord's love. Without that love, there is no salvation. So Jesus asked us that third time, do you love me? And Peter was finally starting to get it. And so Jesus tells him one last time, feed my sheep. And what Jesus is doing, he's putting it all together. He's saying, take everything I've given to you, and you provide for the tender, the weak, the strong, and the mature, and you feed my sheep. As I close here today, I want to point out something. We've all said God is love. Jesus is love. But guess what? Jesus never, ever, ever forces us to choose that love. He never says, you have to love me. He places it before us as a choice and says, do you love me? Not just for a few fleeting moments when you're all googly, googly, gushy-eyed. Not just when everything in your life is going well. Not just when every relationship is seeming to line up, but can you love me during the hard times? Can you love me with all of your life and soul and strength and heart and might? And he says, at the end of your life, when you're standing before me in heaven, will you be able to say the best thing you ever, ever did was to fall in love with me? Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so good. You are so amazing, so wonderful. And Lord, we still don't get it. We sit here and we have already promised you things in our hearts, Lord, and you already are saying, cock-a-doodle-doo. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to realize that falling in love with you is about changing our whole lives, changing our lifestyle, changing our choices, changing our decisions, so that everything is no longer about us, but all about you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.